Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schleinkofer. Today we're talking to representatives of Culpeper County Civil Defense Association, Alan Swan, President, and Don Doyle, Vice President. How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing well.
Doing well. Thanks for having us, Preston.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Full disclosure, I know you guys pretty well, and I know of your organization, it's been a pleasure watching you guys grow that organization and advance to the level that you're at. So I was wanting to get you guys in on the show so we can talk about what you're doing and hopefully inspire others to do the same as what you're doing. So if you can you give us a little rundown history of your organization and what your philosophy on civil defense is?
Basically, we want to train people to, as Mike maybe has said, not to be so vulnerable in terms of when things go wrong, when there's some kind of emergency in the community. Years ago, people did a lot of things for themselves, and when something happened and services were disrupted, people could get along a lot better than they seem to be able to today. And we'd like to bring some of that self-reliance back into the community, because even Congress is now saying that FEMA alone cannot handle large emergencies, that we have to have the ability at the local level to be able to take care of ourselves, at least for a period of time, until help can come.
I was thinking too, Al, to dovetail on that, Preston, it's a couple of things that you've sent along and some of the communications from Civil Defense Virginia, which I may stop and say, has been equally helpful to us. Some of the information you've given us through the group, some of the ideas, the Map Your Neighborhood program out of Washington State, that, you know, stuff that you see and funnel down to us, is really between Al's experience and working with the people that are in our group and what you've done and others. It's helped put together this our direction and where we're going. So that's been helpful, but also, thinking of the letter that I think Michael maybe wrote to Brock Long, and the big takeaway is, you know, trying to do things top down versus bottom up doesn't work as well. And I think that's what we're doing here, is try to get people in the county, use the resources we have with the sheriff department and the volunteer fire departments that you've mentioned, and try to work that. And just a general move. It's a big request, but try to drive this volunteerism back the way we used to be with each other. You know, we used to step up and not so be involved with what we're doing, but also help out in the community, whether it's through various organizations or whatnot. Some of us are a little older and can remember those days back, you know, 4 or 5 decades ago. So all these people that came out of the military and, you know, after the different wars, World War One is a little bit too far away, but those people, that was their life. It was a gift of their life of service, and they continued that in the communities.
Yeah, it's a lost art, so to speak, the self-reliance of our forefathers. With this on-demand lifestyle that we live now, it's all fast food on demand and Amazon Prime, you know, you get next day. It's real hard for a lot of people to back off from that and think of being self-reliant. I thank you for the shout-out for my organization, Civil Defense Virginia, which I founded in Virginia in 2017, I can't remember exactly now, but
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's been a lot of work, and
yes, it has.
Yeah, but so Culpeper County Civil Defense Association. Let's just call it Culpeper Civil Defense for short. That organization is how old, and how did it really come about?
What are we, Don? A little over a year old, year and a half, something like that.
I would think.
I think it's about a year and a half right now, if I'm remembering right, because it was near the end of 2017 we incorporated, so that'd make it about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of us that had been meeting for some time and trying to figure out how we can address emergency situations. Everybody thinks that all they have to do is pick up the phone or pick up their cell phone or whatever and call 911 and they can fix anything. The problem is, in a large-scale emergency, a hurricane or some other large-scale event, for instance, there was a weather event in Northern Virginia probably 10 or 12 years ago now, I can't remember exactly, where not only were the emergency services swamped, but the 9/11 call center was down for 3 days. So that took a lot of plans and threw them in the trash can right there. There were so many trees down that there were some neighborhoods that were almost totally isolated as far as vehicular traffic goes. And again, the state and county could not get around to remove all the trees because it was just too large an event. And it was that kind of thing, along with Hurricane Katrina back in 2005 and the memories of that, that motivated us to try to come up with something that would allow the individual neighborhoods to be somewhat self-reliant and to be able to help each other within the neighborhood should an emergency occur.
Yeah, well, it does point back to the individual. You know, Brock Long, the former administrator for FEMA, has said multiple times that it goes back to the individual as their own first responder.
Yeah, the whole idea of first responder is changing right now. And the term first responder traditionally has meant the fire department, police department, and any other governmental emergency services that may exist in your area. But right now, there are a lot of people saying, look, the true first responders are the people that are on the scene when the event occurs. They're not somebody that comes in later. And their ability to manage the injuries or other problems on that scene until other help can come is what's going to make the difference between life and death for some people. We saw that in Las Vegas.
Yes.
The add on to that, too, is that not only have we, we've developed our program in kind of different levels. You know, level one being the map your neighborhood, which addresses what Al was just talking about. Let's first, you know, get our neighbors. What I say is we want to reach, teach, and train families and neighborhoods to prepare, respond, and recover from a disaster. So when nobody's coming, and that's a big point of map your neighborhood, is when it is overwhelmed, as Al was saying, nobody's coming. And it's that important 60 minutes, that first golden hour in the first few minutes of a disaster that is so important. And, you know, when those events happen, we don't think clearly. We don't necessarily panic. but we don't think clearly. So you have to go back to training, and that's what we hope to do through Map Your Neighborhood. We've also added a little segment of our own of preparation that we borrowed from Virginia Department of Emergency Management and actually the Washington State similar paper, and tried to get a one page for families to say, hey, you know, get some bandages ahead. What are you going to do when you can't get anywhere for a week? You know, water, food, those kinds of materials, and have them in your home so you don't need to be the victim. Prepare. What we're trying to do is get the training, and we've also been approved by FEMA to have our CERT team, I guess official, you could say. So that's the next level, involves more commitment, but we hope through all this work that we're doing, we pick up more members, and there's experienced people in our county. You know, we just need to pull them out and find them, and some of us that can do the next level training that is involved in medical, fire response, search and rescue, all those kinds of things to help and be responsive in a disaster with some good skill level. So we've got kind of a tiered approach to train. Like I said, the Map Your Neighborhood is very simple and very self-sustainable. I've conducted my first one this past week, and when you talk to your neighbors, most of them nod their heads and get it. And some really get the whole point of being prepared. Any event, man-made or natural, could happen. And it's kind of the old saying, you know, we get very good resources from people like yourself or FEMA for us to use. But again, we can use them at the bottom level. But it's the old story. If you expect the government to come and help you with some efficiency, that's probably not in their best, what they do the best. But our county officials and emergency responders and firefighters are, and then our citizens locally are very capable of, you know, through training and through effort on their own can really help respond and help each other. And that's what we're here is to train neighbors and families to be prepared and help each other until more professional or official services can come.
No, that's good. So, I like your tiered effect. You know, it starts out with personal preparation, and the individual or family should be working on their individual preparedness, you know, their family preparedness, and then at the same time be looking outward towards the neighborhood, because you may be in a situation where you need help and the closest help is next door or across the street. So that's where the Map Your Neighborhood comes in very, very well. And then your second tier is CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, that is promoted by FEMA. That is a light search and rescue organization, and it's a community focus. So you've got your three areas pretty well covered there. So that's good. Hats off.
Well, you know, one other thing I was going to add when Al was talking about how we started, one of our members, you know, we're trying to work through ways to get our citizens here in the county to prepare and et cetera. But one of them said, you know, we need a hook. And a hook being, you know, to us, a professionalism or what's official organization and whatnot. And, of course, with Al's depth of experience, you know, he mentioned the CERT team from FEMA, and that's how we started this conversation and started our path forward that we're on now. And then, you know, pulling in the Map Your Neighborhood from Civil Defense Virginia and all these things, has all fit together. So I think that, and also we said, can we get our county together? And with this package, it's going then to have a good package to go present to them. We've spoken with the sheriff, and we've spoken to our county emergency management system, who actually has been talking to other private groups like us, and I think we've got the good basics there to integrate county official resources and people like ourselves, amateur radio and whatnot, like-minded people doing like-minded things, to instead of having a bunch of people doing the same thing side by side, let's just get together, communicate, and organize and be a stronger resource just for all of our county citizens, number one. And then number two, when Al and I presented this to the sheriff, he said, you know, I've been looking for this kind of package for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. We have a really good sheriff here, and he's stepped up to sponsor our CERT team and stepped up to really promote our civil defense group and the Map Your Neighborhood program. So we're very blessed with that, and we're starting. We've got tools, and we've got, you know, the pieces to put together. It's still we're still at the bottom of the hill climbing up to get this out to our citizens around the county, and I think hopefully we've also presented to the fire chiefs, and I think the idea of, you know, those are hubs around the county of people that volunteer in their small little sub-communities, so we're hopeful, and we kind of presented it in a way to say, hey, I think we have kind of a symbiotic relationship here. We can, hopefully, is to pull people that need to volunteer for you, the same people, maybe we can get different people to come and be involved with civil defense, or at least take the initiative to be a block captain and start mapping your neighborhood and doing those kinds of things. So it just, one thing grows on the other, but it's we've got a lot of work to do, but we've got a lot of tools to do it with. So it's been, we're kind of pleased with that.
Yeah, you're right. It is a symbiotic relationship. You know, there will be people that will catch the bug in civil defense, and then once they reach the CERT level, they'll want to do something more, and they'll want to go and volunteer at the fire department and help out there. So, and then there'll be people that would like to be volunteer firemen, but they don't have the physical ability to do that, so they can still help their community by being involved with your civil defense organization. So, you know, you can pull people from all over the area. You know, people of different skills and backgrounds to make the whole thing stronger. It's all about the community anyways.
More to your point, too, that was kind of my background, sales and marketing and that kind of stuff and logistics and supply chain. But and as I thought about this presenting to the chiefs, I said to them, too, I said, there's a lot of things to make the fire department go. People don't necessarily have to have a mindset, well, cripes, I've got to go and jump into a hot suit and go fight fire inside a house. Well, they need to be aggressive, and maybe they do this, and that's part of my learning curve, too, is as we interface more with these people or the different groups. You know, there's people that need to keep the firehouse going, wash the hoses at the end, do administrative functions. There's all kinds of things to do in the fire department, help raise money. You know, they have their, I suppose, annual events, or maybe they can create annual events, which I said, too, I said, maybe we should have family safety days where, you know, we have some fun for the kids or a barbecue and this and that, and they have to come through the firehouse and listen to a five-minute presentation on being a volunteer fireman, and they get a five-minute presentation on civil defense and your family, and we get their contact information, and then you can go out the back door and have fun and have some barbecue. I mean, that's just, you know, pull that off the top of my head. But, I mean, you know, we got to be creative of helping pull all our people out, you know.
And, no, that's a great idea.
This is something I can do.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So we'll see how that goes, and I've got some follow-ups, but we'll see.
Well, the scouts have a merit badge for preparedness. And so one of my
good
board
point.
Members, his son was an Eagle Scout. And part of his project was at the firehouse, the scout troop sponsored a preparedness day. And they had all these different people come and talk about preparedness. It was a big success. So things like that bring the community in is fantastic. And Culpeper County and the city are both great, great places to visit as well as live. I'm sure I haven't had the pleasure of living there, but everybody that does live up there that I know enjoys it. So you guys got a good thing going there. Can you expound on your relationship with the sheriff's office? Maybe there's people wanting to understand that a little bit better. It sounds like that's your strongest relationship with the administration of the county.
The sheriff's concerned with the general safety of the whole county, and that takes in a lot of territory. Culpeper's reasonable size. It's over something 480 something square miles, so it's not like you can throw a rock from one end to the other. He has been looking for something that he could use along with his people that are already out there in the community to help acquaint people with the idea of preparedness. And one of the big thing in preparedness is knowledge. I mean, we're right now, we're a society that goes out and buys this, that, or the next thing. Somebody already mentioned this morning, Amazon. You know, everybody thinks they can order what they need from Amazon. Well, the issue is when things go wrong, you need to have some things. You know, you need food, you need water, you need some tools, okay? But buying that stuff is not going to keep you going. In order for those things to be useful to you, you need a minimal amount of knowledge. You need some knowledge of first aid and, for instance, how do I stop bleeding? Something fell and my neighbor's arm has been cut. How do I stop that from bleeding? Standing there looking at the first aid kit or trying to thumb through the first aid book when the guy is standing there bleeding isn't going to help you.
Right.
Or having a hysterical fit.
Yeah, that's not going to do it either. I've seen that happen in the past, too. But people, I think there's a tendency to, and I think the sheriff has seen this also, there's a tendency when people are faced with an out-of-the-ordinary situation, anything that is not within their normal routine, they have a tendency to freeze.
Yes.
And
yes, they do.
If they do that in an emergency situation, that can be hazardous to them, it can be hazardous to their family, it can be hazardous to their neighbors. And hopefully one of the things we can do is to run, you know, little training classes. Even just the amount of knowledge you're going to get from the basic map your neighborhood is beyond what a lot of people are thinking on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And the sheriff, when we presented this, he could see that side of it. He could see that educational side of things. And from his point, sort of a free resource, which is what we want to be.
Exactly. That's the
value. You know, that's what volunteerism is. That's what built this country.
Yes, you're right.
And even Alexis de Tocqueville, when he toured America around the early 19th century, said that the country became what it was because there were voluntary associations for everything. Okay, and they worked together in the community to try to better things. It wasn't the what was then, I guess, the European style where, you know, the government provided everything. So that's been a large part of our history, and we're losing a little bit of that, unfortunately.
Yes.
I don't think we can afford to lose it.
No, you're
right. And the sheriff doesn't think we can afford to lose it.
You're right. We can't afford to lose it. But we're going to have to take a commercial break right now, and we'll be back in a moment. Hey, friends. Please allow me to speak with you about something you may want to add to your regular health maintenance routine as well as your preparedness supplies. A few years ago, I came across an article in a preparedness magazine that caught my attention. My wife and I have always been health conscious, and we have taken various supplements over the years. However, this article introduced us to the world of essential oils. My wife began researching to find a reputable company with high-quality products. What she found was a company that we have been with now for about 4 years, using their products, many of them daily. The company is doTERRA, and their products are certified pure, therapeutic-grade essential oils. Essential oils come in all grades on the scale, but doTERRA oils are, in our opinion, at the top. Sure, you can go to Walmart or your local pharmacy and purchase essential oils, but not many of them will be recommended for internal use. Many of our oils can be used orally, topically, and diffused for their wonderful aromatic fragrance and health benefits. Some of our favorites we use almost daily are lemon, clove, frankincense, lavender, En Garde blend, peppermint, and melaleuca, also known as tea tree oil. These oils have become our go-to remedies for managing our health throughout the year. In fact, we credit our oils for our overall good health. You can too. Just visit our website at www.oilsforlifetoday.com. That's oils, number four, lifetoday.com. And explore the wonderful world of certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils for yourself. Welcome back to the Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schleinkofer. On the line today, we've got Alan Swan, president of Culpeper County Civil Defense Association, and Vice President Don Doyle. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Preston.
So, Don, did you want to follow up with what Al was talking about just prior to the break?
Well, yeah, we were talking about the involvement of the sheriff and whatnot. I can just only echo what he says. Maybe I'm just biased, but he is a very good sheriff and has been concerned about, people and being able to protect everyone. So, he's really good to work for. He's got his whole staff, behind this, his command staff. He has a program, too, where different people within his staff are assigned to different organizations, whether it be the NAACP or this group or that group. So they have a connection with the county and the sheriff, and it's been helpful to they've been getting the word out of Culpeper County Civil Defense and what we're trying to do, and then we are also following up and attending those organizations. So his reach throughout the county is helping get the word out through his Facebook and press releases and those kinds of things. And it's been helpful even through the fire chiefs. I was trying to get with the fire chiefs. I want to come back to another point that reminded me of that. But one of the fire chiefs works at a local company here, Cintas. Many people know that. They're a nationwide uniform and industrial service company. I got an email from their HR person, one of the people within the fire department is an employee there, and said, hey, we're having employee safety days, and it says we'd like to get some outside people, not just our inside people, to talk about safety and whatnot. So there's a program time slot coming up in June, and they've invited us, and we're glad to go and talk to them about preparation and civil defense. So with that and getting with local things in the county, we have a Culpeper Fest. Thing by the Chamber of Commerce, so many businesses and churches and this and that or whatever get out and promote their wares. And of course, the sheriff will be there, and we're partnering with him and going to be at his command station with the trailer there and be able to talk about civil defense and with him. And we have the Fireman's Parade that's a big deal in Culpeper, and so we've made a banner. And we're going to put the sheriff's decal on our banner. We've kind of got some sayings that we've put together for Culpeper County. Like it's one is help yourself, and we have thoughts of maybe putting that on a bumper sticker and help your neighbor, and that's on our banner. But we're going to march behind the sheriff.
Cool.
So that support that he's done with all these little connections really helps us. And when you think about, there's a cost benefit there. Also, what Al was talking about reminded me of that person that does some printing for us, so we do a lot on our own. We have our budget is only our dues every year, although the sheriff has stepped up and said, I have maybe some monies for this kind of thing, so we're hopeful to maybe use that if we need it, because we're buying these great packets at a very good price from Washington State, from Map Your Neighborhood, for example. But doing some of the printing, this person who was involved with the fire department said, this is a really good idea. She said, we get so many calls for fire and rescue that are really crazy calls that we don't even need to be there. And it's what Al was talking about, is through training and whatnot and people preparing, when they have an accident or they have something there, they don't panic. They rely on the training. They stop the bleeding. They, you know, pinch it up and calmly take them to the emergency room or somebody where, you know, they can get attended to. So I think it's just an all-around win-win for everybody, between the sheriff, between the citizens, between, you know, all these little organizations, we hope. I mean, you can see that, and we just have to be able to keep pushing that and marketing that through the community and getting people interested, as we talked about before, through interest to take the time to go train yourself, help yourself, learn, and go from there.
Yeah. You know, that's a lot of great advice there. The calls for service would decrease quite a bit for some of this minor stuff if everybody had first aid training and had the knowledge that maybe their neighbor was trained a little bit better than them and they could call them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Good Samaritan laws, a lot of people aren't, you know, if you're acting in good faith, you're not liable. So that's a good thing. But I want to let you guys know that just recent events, this is just a sidebar. There's an attorney at FEMA who wrote an article for Homeland Security Journal or something like that. I can't remember the exact title. But the title of the article is How FEMA Could Lose America's Next Great War. And what it is a history lesson on civil defense and how civil defense used to be part of the national initiative for emergencies, wartime, things like that, and how we don't have civil defense anymore to handle a lot of the things that used to be handled by the civil defense organizations. And so I sent him an email over the weekend, and he responded, and he says that the guide that I produced for Civil Defense Virginia is a new American civil defense structure. He says I'm right on with it. And that was a lot of encouragement that guide, you know, you guys used it and others are using it. And so it's encouraging that we're on the right track on what we're doing for bringing back the idea of civil defense, but instead of a top-down structure that is a political football between different administrations. Some administrations will support it, and other ones will want to get rid of it. So if it's a grassroots organization from the people, they can't get rid of the people's organization because that's them. So, you know, it's encouraging to know that we're on the right track and that you guys are building this organization out there in Culpeper and getting it to be the example of what we can do not only in the Commonwealth of Virginia but around the country.
Well, I don't know, Al, you may want to comment, but I do, between your knowledge, of course, if you see some of our presentations that we put together for anybody that wants to understand that, we put a sales, quote-unquote, a sales presentation about civil defense. We borrowed heavily from your Civil Defense Virginia material, so that was helpful. And then the other thing, Al's just had spent a lot of his lifetime in what we do in first responding and knowledge. He's his depth of knowledge in our group is invaluable. So that's a big thing. And the other thing, when you mentioned that, made me think of, we kind of have a level 3 training, and that'll be in the future as we pull more people in. But when you get the more serious stuff, and you are very active in the EMP and those kinds of things, when you think about big time threats, there's weather threats, there's man-made and then natural threats. But I think these days, when we think about electromagnetic pulse, could come from the sun, it could come from anywhere in this world we live in, that would be very devastating. So we start small, and we get the citizenry working and get some preparation for a 7-day, 14-day outage or whatever from a big weather event or anything like that. But we as a country have to think about, and the president is doing that too now, with finally putting some emphasis on EMP, protection and do some more work. And Al can talk at length, and he has to our group. But when you just think of our grid, it's just so, it's old. It was all these little electric companies with all custom-made transformers and grids and switchgear and all that kind of thing. So we are
vulnerable. It wasn't really designed. It happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Al can talk about that.
Yeah, it was a patchwork quilt of various power companies and suppliers.
Yeah. So that's a deal to be thinking about, too, which I know many of us do, you do, and now I think it's getting finally, you know, the attention that it needs. But that would be that's a big deal. But there are people around in this country that know how to deal with it, you know, people that have the experience and know how to recover from that. That would be a big recovery. But as we've talked about in our own organization, you would think we could start some, modularity of how we put together the grid or make repairs or at least have some backup, you know, and start making some stuff in this country too. So a lot of bigger things that not everybody in the community are going to kind of grab hold, because they're just, as Al was saying, they're used to dialing 911 or going to Amazon and getting what they need. When that doesn't come, that's when things start.
Well, the whole society right now, our whole economic structure is built on what used to be called just-in-time inventory. And what that means is all of your stores, including the grocery stores and anybody else you can think of, has enough stock in the store to last maybe 2 to 3 days of normal, and quote, normal buying. But if you've ever been around when they predicted a snowstorm, you go to the grocery store and it looked like the locusts have come through. There wasn't anything else there.
Bare shelves.
You know, the bread, milk, and toilet paper was long gone. So, and that's just an indication that if we can't move the products in the normal fashion, where are you going to get your food? Where are you going to get your milk? You know, where are you going to get your bread? That kind of stuff. You know, there are many, many. I mean, we could have a bad hurricane. There have been bad hurricanes in this part of the world. Usually they hit further south, but sometimes they hit up here. And I've been without power for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
In a suburban setting, a large suburban setting. So, you know, it can and it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've had an earthquake here, too.
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah. Prior to, 2011, people would have laughed at you if you talked about earthquakes.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
Well, a lot of people are in that, what I call the September 10th mentality. You know, September 10th, everybody was happy-go-lucky, and then September 11th happened, and, you know, the events of September 11th happened, and then, you know, everybody is woke.
Yeah.
So it's always happy-go-lucky until something happens. Well,
right.
The thing is, with us who believe in preparedness and civil defense, we believe that tomorrow literally can be our September 11th. And that's the mentality that we have to have in order to start preparing and being ready for things, like having, you know, minimum of 14 days of supplies in the house where you can survive for 14 days until help can arrive. But I would suggest shoot for 30 as a minimum.
Yep.
And then that way
you have
a lot longer opportunity to survive. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong. The residents up there that in New Jersey that got hit by Hurricane Sandy, they wish they had 30 days worth of supplies. You know,
they were
eating out of trash cans after a couple of days. So it's rough. So we have to have a preparedness mindset, because people prepare all the time. You know, you go to the grocery store, you look at the pantry, you go, oh, I'm going to have to go to the store and get some stuff. Well, when you go to the store and get some stuff, you know, it's usually for 3 or 4 days. Think about buying a couple extra cans of beans and different things that will last for a long time, and put them someplace. you know, then you just have to manage your stock as you rotate it through. But add extra items to your shopping list that that you can store up, and it, you know, that's the easy way to start stocking up. But you know, you don't have to go out and spend $300-500 on stuff. But
no,
it's important that you have something set aside. You know, you got to have the basics. You got to have food, water, or the ability to filter and process water. You got to be able to cook so you can eat your food. You have to have sanitation, because if the toilets don't work, things get backed up. You have to have a way to, yep, to take care of that waste. You have to have medical.
Well, that's an important, I'm sorry, that's an important point, because if you look at a lot of these disasters, like the tsunamis that were hitting Asia several years ago, most of the people that died in those events did not die from the tsunami itself. They died because of the lack of sanitation that existed after the event occurred.
Yes.
And that was the majority of the deaths there.
Yeah. Well, when the tsunami hits, it wipes, you know, brings all the sewage out of the sewage plants, and everything's infected and are contaminated. So, yeah, it's rough. Those things are really rough. So let's we're getting close to our end time here. So what recommendations over the next couple minutes? What recommendations do you have for other localities, other people, other cities or counties? Because that's who we're focused on: cities and counties who are thinking about doing the same thing that you guys are doing.
Well, the first thing you need to do is understand the need. If you don't have the right mindset, this isn't probably even making a lot of sense to you right now. So you've got to understand the situation, and you've got to look around and convince yourself that you've got to just stop and look at your own life and look at all of the outside things you depend on. And say, gee, what would I do if this went away? What would I do if I couldn't get to the grocery store? What would I do if the gas station didn't have any gas? What would I, you know, and things like that. What are your medical needs? Do you have regular medical needs? How would you support those kinds of things? If the modern infrastructure that we have with delivery to the stores, with delivery of power and water to our homes, and the extraction of sewage from them, if that suddenly stopped working, what do you do? How do you handle that? And that realization, I think, is the first thing that you have to come to. And then you need to begin banding together with like-minded people. Talk to your neighbors. I mean, how many in your neighborhood, do you even know your neighbors anymore? I think air conditioning and television have totally ruined the social structure of this country, because most people don't know their neighbors anymore. It's important to get back and to know the people next door, to know the people 3 and 4 and 5 houses down the street, or one street over, or whatever the case may be. And talk to them and ask them the same questions that you just asked yourself. And then come to one of the organizations that's already there, like Civil Defense Virginia or Culpeper County Civil Defense, or any of a number of other organizations that are already around. You don't have to reinvent the wheel yourself.
Right. We'll give it to you. What we know and what we borrowed.
Yeah, and I think that's what we need for people to do, and we need for people to do it before the next major event hits. There have been people saying that we seem to be, you know, the very large hurricanes that result in loss of life and enormous loss of property seem to be getting more frequent than they used to, for whatever reason. These things seem to run in cycles. I can remember back to the 1950s where they would lose 300 people in a hurricane just in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've gotten better at forecasting and warning and stuff like that, but still, you know, people have to be educated. Every time there's a flood, people die because they drive into the water.
Yeah.
When there's a flood warning comes out on the radio, what's the first thing they tell you? Don't drive through the water. People do it anyway, you know. So
yeah. I'm just saying exactly everything that Al said, too. And then the thing with getting involved with a civil defense is you have to be prepared. It takes some work. You have to be the driver of it. If you've done that assessment that Al's talked about and said, this is really important. It's important to my family. It's important to my community. I have a big need to make sure that we continue on with this country and our community and how we govern ourselves and all these other things that we do. We want to keep that going. So we've got to prepare for that and then be there. So be prepared to be the driver, and it takes time. It takes hours of work. Al can talk about it, and that's why I've stepped up, and it's been rewarding for me to be his wingman. And I am busy. I've recently retired, and this is a big thing that I do, and I'm picking and choosing.
Don has been a godsend because I just couldn't keep up with all of it. Yeah, I'm involved in other things as well.
Yeah, you're involved with all kinds of things in the community, so you got to be able to step up and pull some people in there to share the load and start trudging through. We have data we've borrowed from people. We've talked to different counties on search stuff, and then yourself, like we said before. So the resources are there. And the only other thing I want to say, too, is when you're prepared, number one is you start preparing yourself and your home. It gives you a lot of peace of mind. So
yeah.
Learning from the program I've been involved with first, with Al, teaching and stuff like that, you know, I've got generators. I've got some fuel, different kinds of fuel. We canned anyway because I like fresh tomatoes to make spaghetti sauce from my Italian side, but we've learned to can other things. So when it comes through, I'm okay, you know, as long as nobody's hurt and whatnot. We'll fire up the generator as long as my supply of fuel lasts. But then you got to think the next step. How are you going to, those questions that Al was just asking, well, what if it's 30 days? What if it's 45 days? Do I have a way to charge some batteries to even get on the radio and stuff like that? So it always continues to grow. And then the last thing I say and thing I caught my eye, we've used in our one-page preparation for the homes of the families out of Washington State, it says you got to spend time every month on this. You know, you talked about going to the store and pick up an extra item. The expiration date on those cans were put on there for some reason. They'll be good 20 years from now or 30 years from now.
Yeah.
We found that in the old days with the civil defense and the Army rations and all those kinds of things. But the takeaway, and I'm guilty of it too, you know, we all are, even, and we're into it. It's that I got to spend a couple hours, I want to do this and do that. You've got to spend some time in preparation and put it on your calendar and put it in your schedule, or else it's not going to happen. So it's peace of mind. You got to prepare. You got to spend some time and prepare for some work. But we're going to have one just to end it. You know, you put us on to somebody from Warrington's going to attend our meeting this Wednesday. We meet the third Wednesday of the month at 6 o'clock at the Emergency Center. Culpeper County Emergency Center, and she's going to come down, and she wants to do the same thing. So we're sending her stuff, and we'll help her.
Yeah.
That's great.
I appreciate it.
One more point, if you have a second.
Sure, real quick.
We'll talk to anyone. If you want to get this started, we will provide whatever help we can provide and share the knowledge we have. We're not selling anything, first off.
Right.
We're basically giving stuff away is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
And anybody that wants to start a group, we'd be happy to share our experiences.
Okay, so how would somebody get a hold of you guys?
Give them the email, Don, the civil defense email.
We have a Culpeper County Civil Defense email, which is CC Civil Defense. So it's Culpeper County CC CIVILDEFENSE at gmail.com. So CCCivilDefense@gmail.com.
All right. Okay. Good deal. And anybody interested in checking out my guide, it's on the resources page of our website at civildefenseradio.com/resources. And it's right at the top of the page, first thing in there. So there's plenty of resources there. And then we also have Mike Mabee's fantastic book, The Civil Defense Book, which is on Amazon. So, guys, yep. Hey, it was a pleasure having you here. And I look forward to having you guys back again. So we're going to have to sign off. To my listeners, I want to say thanks for being here. I really appreciate you being on the show today. As always, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you until next time.